Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Monday, the 12th of July. I am Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by my good friend, colleague and senpai, Mr. Luke Moore. It's the Luke and Pete Show. How are you doing, Luke?
You see, you missed that lover.
Lover. Lovely old Joe.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. How are you, my friend?
Yeah. It's all right, yeah. I mean, as you can hear from my voice, I had a heavy couple of days, I have to be said.
You but, shouted yourself hoarse. Hopefully.
I shouted myself hoarse yesterday, and there was also the not inconsequential situation that was the London Podcast Festival Awards on Friday that we both attended, which was just in a park on a drizzly day, where we just drank beers and basically spoke to our old colleagues who used to work in radio.
Yeah, isn't it funny how that happens? One of my favourite moments from the British Podcast Awards, and this isn't, it's not a packed list because it's not the thing that you and I feel the happiest going to. But anyway, we won't dwell on that. One of my favourite moments was when I really wanted to go in the VIP area. I had no VIP pass. No one had even, you know, I wasn't even going to be a VIP area. So when I got there, I was like, oh, right, there's a VIP bit there. And I heard on the grapevine that the drinks in there were free. And so I just thought, I'll try my luck because I've got a reasonable track record trying my luck. I just walked straight through. No one checked. So I got in there. Anyway, the first thing I do, dear listener, is I get myself a beer. Let's make that absolutely clear. The first thing I did was get myself a free beer. The second thing I did was get the old WhatsApp out and message old Donny, old PD, old Diggory Donny, and say, Donny, fucking great news, mate. The VIP, you could just walk straight in. Just come in. Walk in. And I saw that you blue-ticked that straight away, so you'd read it. And then the next thing I remember happening was looking across the crowded VIP bit and seeing you looking perturbed and unsure with a security man.
Yeah, no, I walked straight through with my mobile phone to my ear like I was taking an important call and couldn't possibly wait for nice tactic. Yeah. So I got in, but our younger colleagues, Katie and Charlie and Finn, because, I mean, Finn's very tall. You can't really miss Finn. He's gigantic.
Yeah.
Very rangy gentleman. They couldn't get in because they didn't style it out like me and you did, Luke. So I was feeling a little bit perturbed that we'd left people behind. But they got in after a while. They stood next to the... I'm going to call him security, not really security guard, by just standing next to him and going, can we go in now? And he went, oh, yeah, fine.
Also, I love the difference between you and I. You think, oh, yeah, I better just make sure they're looked after. I'm like, they've got to learn.
They've got to learn. Sink or swim,
baby. If they don't get in, they'll remember this feeling and that'll spur them on for next time.
Yeah, but the thing is, we gave Charlie and Finn a taste, and they were one of a couple of the kids who rushed the security at Wembley on Sunday. They didn't. I'm joking.
Taste of the biscuit. It was it was very reminiscent. Those scenes were very reminiscent of the January the 6th Capitol insurrection.
What do you mean the Wembley or the British podcast?
The Wembley Stadium thing. The angle of the camera, the behaviour was very similar.
Yeah. It's just. I mean, just kids just really like cocaine these days, don't they? That's something they're really into, I fear.
Do you reckon that's what it's down to?
I think there's certainly a lot of the stuff that I saw in Leicester Square, I just sort of go, yeah, I mean, the London riots were fun for a lot of kids, but they didn't seem to be doing fucking Charlie halfway through the bloody thing. It's all a little worrying.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think that we've seen a lot of behaviour befitting that, and it's been going on for a wee while now, I think. But I also think, you know, you're talking about a big event like the European Championship final. Yeah, you really want the security to be being better than that. It's not an excuse to say that, people, you know, the ultimate responsibility lies with the people that were doing it, but you've got to be fairly certain stuff like that was happening, right? It's always going to happen.
This isn't like, I mean, you know, this isn't a terrorist incident, but, you know, if you can't defend against, you know, 10 or 20 kids, you know, just rushing through the barriers, you're not fit to host an event, in my opinion, you know, and those sort of scenes will, I mean, if anything kind of stops UEFA doing whatever they do, it will prevent England being considered in the future to host events, because they're just letting whoever they want just walk into the bloody stadium. Awful scenes.
Pete, if you had, say that you've got, I mean, I haven't actually been to your new house yet, but say, I'm assuming it's of the size that I imagine it is, but say you had a larger dwelling, say you had, I don't know, your home plopped in the middle of, say, a parcel of land of the size of about an acre, and it had a perimeter fence, and you saw 20 to 25 boys trying to get in, what's your tactic? Are you pot shot with an air rifle from the roof?
I would talk to them, sit them down.
All of them together?
This isn't the way. All I got, I'd just sit them down and just give them a piece of my... Give them something way more valuable than my possessions. Give them my time. And I think they'd respect that.
Would it be a test of your social skills?
It most certainly will be.
Bear in mind,
any kids listening to me.
Bear in mind, these people have been drinking for some time, and their manners are actually quite poor. How are you gonna stop them putting their feet up on the sofa for instance?
Look, Luke. I mean, you can see right behind me this beautiful bit of construction affair. I could build turrets. I could build a perimeter wall. I went down to Wickes and I got some timber, and I've made myself a little wall.
Let's tell people the full story here. There's been a lot of this bubbling under for quite a long time across the various WhatsApp groups of you asking quite a lot of questions about timber. That's what's happened here. I would take, if we're doing that kind of Mr. and Mrs. type quiz where you have to answer questions about each other, I think we'd both agree that in a social situation, I'm better. But in a practical situation, you are much better. So I'm not going to have a pop at you. You've put some what looks like foam insulation on the wall behind you there, surrounded by timber, and it looks like a pretty good job. So good for you. But
highly carcinogenic.
You've not used asbestos, have you?
I certainly, when I glued it to the walls, I used this spray mount stuff, and I didn't realise I was just spraying glue all over my 300 quid bloody gaming chair. So now it looks like I've just jizzed all over it, bloody thing.
Yeah, the worst part of that sentence was 300 quid gaming chair. You're in your 40s. Let's grow up.
I was 38 when I bought it.
Oh, okay, right. I suppose it doesn't just crumble into dust the moment you tick over to 40, does it?
Yeah, it was an investment property. It was an investment chair.
I think if police are coming to your house for whatever reason and you're 38 and they see a gaming chair, it doesn't really raise an eyebrow. If they see that you're 40, I think it motivates an instant hard drive check.
Oh, they're taking the hard drives. They're checking every SD card on my desk.
Is it true that the only way to destroy a hard drive is with acid or set fire to it?
I think you just drill it into like a million different bits. I think that's and certainly these days where hard drives are smaller and they're just chips, you can be way more destructive with a hammer or a drill. I reckon, yeah. I mean, you can piece anything together, but if you're grinding something into dust, I think you'd be all right.
Would it pass muster from a security point of view to just put it in the trash and then click the empty trash button?
yeah. I think I've heard from like the FBI. They say, look, don't worry about the writing over the data 5 or 6 times, 8 or 9 times to ISO standards. Just stick it in the bin, stick it in the trash, and put it in a folder saying, "Do not look."
The amount of FBI meetings where they've gone.
I reserve the rights.
The amount of FBI meetings where they've gone. Did he delete the files? Yeah, he deleted them. But did he empty the trash? Yeah. Oh, fuck!
Did he empty the recycling bin?
Gutting!
Nuts.
Absolutely gutting! I don't think the stuff that people are deleting is actually recyclable, technically speaking, either. So that's quite a poor way of naming it a recycle bin. You can't recycle that kind of filth. Nor would you want to.
Hey, Hey, Luke, did you see that Richard Branson decided to go into space on the day that England were possibly going to win the Euros yesterday?
Yeah, so I'm torn on this because I am someone who instinctively, and I can't quite describe why, possibly because I was just into it when I was a kid, I instinctively love space exploration. I love the idea of astronauts. I love the idea of travelling to different places. And, you know, why would you not love that? And so I was kind of impressed that it's happening. And I think it's an exciting new development for, like, private and commercially driven space travel. Because let's be fair, these days, if we're waiting for governments to fund people to go to far-flung places in the universe or across the galaxy, whatever it may be, you're not going to do it. It's got to be done privately. It's got to be done commercially. So it's an important step. On the other hand, I did think it was hilarious that he did it on the day that England got to a Euros final, so no one gave a shit. Nah, we like football, whatever, what are you doing, Branson, fuck it, we like football more. And and secondly, he is a problematic businessman, in my opinion, whenever I see Richard Branson now, it always really reminds me of that scene, you might not be familiar with it, in the great comedy series, the underrated comedy series, Saxondale, which Steve Coogan plays an ageing roadie turned pest controller who's fighting against the system, kicking against the pricks, still got his long hair and all the rest of it. And he meets one of his old friends. And one of his old friends is kind of embarrassed about what they did back in the day, and like he's now got short hair and he's running his own business. And Tommy Saxondale is really pissed off about it and really put out by it. And the kicker is that the sensible guy says, "Look, come on, Tommy, you can't expect me to run a business with the same haircut I had in the 70s. And Tommy Saxondale goes, "Wow. I think you'll find Richard Branson might disagree with you there. He'll say, I can run a globe-straddling business with exactly the same haircut I had in the 70s. But anyway, what an amazing achievement. It's a great thing. He's a brave man for going up there, because you probably wouldn't catch me doing it. Would you be up for it?
I was up for it, and then I read that like a couple of people died doing it, so I was like, maybe not.
Say that about anything.
Yes, you're true. Say that about putting
your timber up.
Very good point. Exactly. How many people died building a cavity wall?
him and Jeff Bezos having the world's most pointless argument about it. The world's most unrelatable argument about it as well.
Yeah, well, they sort of, I mean, maybe, I think they a lot of the fuel, it's kind of a new kind of fuel. It's their tax records they're sort of burning to get up there. Yeah. Some wag on Twitter said, quick, do a re-entry space tax before he lands.
Great idea. But what, isn't the debate the fact that there isn't a universally acknowledged height that space starts at? So some people say it's 55... I can't remember if it's kilometres or miles, you have to forgive me. 55 kilometres, some say it's 70 kilometres. And Richard Branson's one isn't going over the upper one, but Bezos' is, and they're having a big ding-dong about it. It's getting quite salty, actually. I still think we're going to get, because Bezos is going up again. Bezos is going up soon, isn't he?
Yeah.
I would not rule out Bezos about to go up, and then Gorilla Monsoon just goes, "Hang on, that's Elon Musk's music!" And then Musk has got a plot twist for us all. They start firing space lasers and having a war or something in space.
A big Fortnite-style rave-off.
Like the Battle of Britain. Between, like, but the Battle of Shitton.
Yeah.
Up in space. I think it's cool. Overall, I think it's cool. I think, you know, there's a lot of... The old thing about how, like, it's a bit of a misnomer to say, well, we've got a lot of problems on Earth we need to sort out, and perhaps these guys should, you know, pay their taxes or do whatever. Of course, you know, fine. But space exploration has got a great record in providing kind of direct benefits, short, medium and long term, to life on the planet. So, I mean, it's a really important thing as well. And I do think for the future of it to be sustainable, it's going to need to be private people doing it, baby, whether we like it or not. I'd like the world to be more equitable. I'd like it to be a fairer place. We all would. But, you know, this is kind of how it's... This is really the only way it's going to be done.
I like the fact that... I like the fact that when they actually got up there, there was actually a bit of a problem getting the live footage from the craft down and broadcasted live. And so this quite sycophantic, fawning voiceover lady was going, and we can't actually hear Richard Branson at the moment, but Sir Richard Branson is probably saying something very inspirational, as he always does.
Oh, like, my God. Oh,
fuck off, mate.
Probably saying something very inspirational, but specifically not about the NHS. Are we going to see the Tin 4 Hat Brigade come out of the woodwork like they did with the moon landings and say that it was all faked? Or is that not happening anymore? Do we not do that now?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think it sort of they take a lot of time to formulate a policy on certain things. When something's so new, they're kind of like, well, should I jump in now? Shall we just wait until it just settles? Shall we study the footage over and over again that it didn't happen? It's just a CGI reproduction, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's probably to make it more realistic, it would probably be harder to do it in CGI, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. It's certainly a big foil craft, and there's some very interesting sort of window configurations in the craft. Because obviously, the plane has to have a heck of a lot of structural integrity, and there's like windows in the roof and windows on the side, and they're all circular. I'd love to have a walk around.
Yeah, I would.
I'd love to have a cup of tea on it.
Were you consulted after what you've been able to achieve with your timber and foam, or...?
No, nobody needed my help. But I mean, it's mainly like a foil and metal construction. I'm a woodman.
They called you up and you went, what is it? It's all foil and metal, is it? Yeah, yeah. I'll get you quite by the end of the week, no problem.
I WhatsApped our religious friend Marcus Speller saying, am I now your favourite carpenter? And he called me a facetious cunt. which I genuinely thought was a bit strong.
That is strong.
All the other things I've said about his God to his face, fine. Criticise me on those things. But I don't think that was that strong, personally.
I think it's actually a strange reaction, given that I've been present for some of the stuff you've said. And I would have been wholly supportive of him not turning the other cheek on that occasion. This one seems to be like he maybe caught him at a bad moment or something.
Yeah, never mind.
I mean, I love that. Also, built up into that is that, people think of you as quite a humble man. I mean, you've knocked up some pieces of wood in your bedroom and now you're referring to yourself as a carpenter.
Yeah, true. Correct. That's all it took. All it took.
I would say the old adage is probably true. You can put a cat in an oven and that doesn't make it a cake.
Where's that come from? What a horrible image from a cat man.
I know, I shouldn't have said that, really. Speaking of cats, I've got something for you.
Right.
You'll like this. So when we're at the British Podcast...
It's a cake.
We're at the British Podcast Awards, which I understand isn't exactly a relatable thing to say to everyone listening, but it's a fact
of life.
It's
hardly Bezos versus Branson, though, is it?
No, it's true. It's kind of similar in a way, but less people give a shit, including me. When I was at the British Podcast Awards, I got a text from my wife saying, on the way back, can you please pick up some AA batteries? I was like, yeah, no worries. Mm. So why do you need them? She said, oh, cat flap batteries have gone. And I've told everyone listening before, but just very, very brief if you don't remember, I've got an electronic cat flap that only lets our cats in. It syncs up to the microchip in their neck. Only they can get in or out. That's the whole point. When the batteries go, it just flips to open. Right?
So
it doesn't want people to be stuck anywhere. It doesn't want the cats to be stuck outside. So it kind of defaults to open. Evidently, that's what happened, because Mimi was sat in the living room. We were out on Saturday, you and I, and she said that she saw a cat come into the living room and she didn't think anything of it because, we have cats, looked over and it wasn't one of our cats, right? So she kind of just gently kind of cajoled it out and it went out. I got back, changed the battery in the cat flap, held the cats underneath it to make sure it worked. It all worked fine. So it's back to where it should be. Anyway, didn't think much of it, went to bed. Next morning, I wake up about 8:30, with this ridiculous sound, just this banging sound, like bang, 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 over and over again, like loud. Went to where the cat flap is, and the fucking alien cat, the cat that shouldn't be here, was still in the house. He'd been there all night, and now he couldn't get out. And he was kicking shit out of the cat flap to the point where he cracked all the perspex, right?
Oh, no.
If I went near to him, he started going insane, obviously, because he's frightened and it's a dead end, effectively. So I had to spend half an hour cajoling him with this food to make him show that I wasn't going to attack him, and therefore hoping he wasn't going to attack me. and then opened the door to let him out, and I've never seen him since. But basically, the upshot is a cat that wasn't ours destroyed our cat flap and spent the night in our house without us knowing. Which is weird.
I wonder where it sort of hung out.
Our other cats didn't give a shit.
No,
they're supposed to be very territorial,
aren't they? Shouldn't they? Yeah, they really should do. That's hilarious. And, like, because that's what I never understand about cats. Like, people will... sometimes, like, people will be walking past someone else's house and they'll just see their cat in that person's house. It's just,
There was that BBC documentary episode, The Secret Life of Cats, and one of the storylines in it was so sad because it was this old lady who had this cat that she loved, and this cat just unilaterally decided that it would prefer to live in the house across the road. And it just stopped coming home, and every so often she'll see it going into the other house, and the other, like, the neighbours were like, well, I'm sorry, I don't really know what to do. Like, we've got to look after it. It just basically decided to fuck off, so they can be like
that. Oh, no.
They can
That's so
be
sad.
Like that. Anyway, should we take a quick break? Let's have a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we will do some of your emails as usual. Some good ones this week, as I always say, but it really is true. I promise you. We'll see you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. It's a Monday, and it's part two of the show. I'm going to get through some of your emails. We've had some absolute bangers this week. Sorry if we didn't get to yours last week, but we're certainly going to be piling through as many as we possibly can, because there are some really, really good ones in the email box. Hello at lukeandpeteshow.com if you'd like to get involved. Luke, do you want to kick us off with a mail, a dispatch?
Yeah, I've got one here that I really love from John, and I'm going to read it out now. It's about competitive eating. We talked about competitive eating, didn't we, last week, very briefly. John has followed up and said, "Hi guys, I have some experience of competitive eating. When I was in university, I spent a summer in Montauk on Long Island," which is obviously in New York. "I'm a J1 visa holder, which is for Irish students. On the first or second weekend, there was a hot dog eating contest as part of the Harbour Festival. Being students and naive Irishmen in America, four of us entered thinking it would be a laugh. Great stuff. When we got there, it was serious business. There were a few Americans trash-talking, saying how they were going to win and how they could eat loads of hot dogs. Three of the lads treated it as lunch, so had three or four hot dogs and then tapped out, satisfied for the afternoon. Great hack. Great hack."
That's great stuff.
And John says, "I had planned to do the same, but was stood beside an obnoxious American woman who, from the minute we arrived, was giving it big licks, which this set me off. I said to myself I was going to give it a lash and hope I beat her. I thought you'd be given hot dogs with your choice of condiments, but I was wrong. We were provided with a cup of water, and that's it. And that one cup of water had to last us the entire 9 minutes of the competition." John goes on to say, "I tore into the competition and completely demolished the first four hot dogs. It was then that things turned into a bit of a slog. Eating dry hot dogs in buns makes your mouth extremely dry. So to get your mouth moist, you've got to dip the hot dog in the water," something we were talking about last week. Disgusting. "Hot dogs 5 to 9 were slower, but people around me were dropping out all over the place. This obnoxious American next to me was still in, though, and still throwing the trash talk. At this point, a crowd was forming and I was beginning to get the backing of them due to this obnoxious American woman. The last three hot dogs consisted of me retching throughout and depositing bits of hot dog in my cheeks to soften them as I chewed through other bits like a squirrel. Anyway, the bell went and I had done it. I ate 12 hot dogs in 9 minutes. The crowd cheered and I was presented with my prize, which was 100 hot dogs. Following the competition, I had to walk back to the place we were staying, which is only 5 minutes away, but it took me about 20 minutes. At one point, I had to lay on the road and the police arrived. When I told them I'd won the competition, they congratulated me and just went on their way. I didn't eat for 2 days after, and I'm very proud of my achievement. Oh, I was until I saw that the winner of the official competition had eaten 53 hot dogs in 12 minutes. Keep up the great work and apologies for the long email." John, that is a very creditable effort in what sounds like, a fairly low standard of competition compared to the 53 from the professional. But nevertheless, 12 hot dogs in 9 minutes is very, very good.
That is very, very good. I think I like the idea of receiving and having to carry home 100 hot dogs. Would it be in like a box rather than a big jar?
I'm
imagining a big jar.
Post them to me.
But I think it might just be a box in foil wrapping.
I get the feeling that if you're doing that, so for example, the geezer ate 53 of them. If you're doing that, by the time you get through a fair amount of them, but presumably they're going to be cold, are they, by then as well?
Yeah.
So cold and wet. It's just not great, is it?
It's very salty. There's a lot of like processed meat. I mean, that's got to be problematic.
Very,
all of those,
very bad for you, I think. And also, you're probably your stomach stretches and all the rest of it. Because I think that's what happens when you get. Obviously, I'm certainly a far fatter man than your good self. And I think what happens when you get fatter is that you eat more and then your stomach gets bigger and then you need it to eat more to keep the stomach full. If you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Right, okay, I see.
Presumably, larger people's stomachs are bigger than smaller people's stomachs because they're stretchable, right?
Definitely. No, that's got to be the case. Because that's, why like gastric band surgery works. Because it just, your stomach, you feel full quicker.
But the reason it's confusing, though, is because you see some of these competitive eaters and not all of them are big.
No, yeah, we said this last time. Like the best competitive eaters are skinny because they've got more room to expand.
Do you reckon it just goes through them really quick? Like they're shitting like a fucking...
Well, it's just less pressure, I guess, less pressure in there. But yeah, cracking stuff. I like the idea of the police just coming over and seeing if he's all right.
Respecting
the
achievement.
Replied, "I've just eaten a load. Yeah, I've just eaten a load of hot dogs," and then they started hitting him with a big hot dog nightstick.
They painted it red. You remember this? Whack.
Oh my god, I think I told you, after the Euro, after we bombed out the Euros in the penalty shootout, me and Sarah had driven me to where all my mates were to watch the match in Bexley. Lovely little town. Never really sort of been to Bexley.
Is it, where is it?
North
is it near Kent?
Kent.
That's a bit of a slog from where you are, isn't it? Really. Or is it not too bad?
It is a little. It is a little bit. So Sarah drove us down, and because obviously everyone was pulling, like we got in the car after the pub. And got on the road, and obviously the police are just watching people leave the pub and just get into their cars.
Right.
So
easy picking.
Sarah got stopped. I thought she was going to get breathalyzed, but I was just absolutely shitted. I was laughing my head.
She wasn't like Lynn and Alan Partridge. She got really flustered and started setting the alarm off.
She was getting a little bit flustered, as anyone would do, with the flashing lights and stuff. But I don't know. Like, I've never been pulled. I think I've been pulled over once in Japan in a car. And I wasn't driving, so I didn't care. And I've been pulled over, like, here. And, it, like, the dynamic's quite interesting because they've always got their blue lights on because they're always going somewhere. It's really hard to know, like, that you're being told to sort of pull over, I suppose.
Yeah, I got pulled over quite a lot in my hometown where there's not really much going on when I was a kid. I had this beaten-up old Ford Fiesta. And me and my friends all used to get pulled over together or separately or whatever. Just to be honest, I don't really think there was much going on. And these guys needed to do something.
And profiled.
I was always fired. I've never, ever been one for that kind of nonsense, like drink driving and all the rest of it. I've always thought it's just awful. But I did once get pulled over about a week or two after my tax and MOT had expired. So I got busted for that.
Did you get away with that?
Yeah, I had to pay a fine and all the rest of it, yeah. Which is a bit of a shame.
Well, I'm in a bit of a snafu because the beloved Wangy 125T scooter, someone's stolen my number plate.
Right? How's that happened?
Well, I left it outside. I left the scooter outside my house and they've clearly just went, we'll have that. Because I think you can... I think they're not valuable, but, I mean, if you've got a moped and you want to get a free tank of gas, just fill yourself up. Put my number plate on the back of your scooter and then just fuck off, I suppose.
Is that why they do it?
I think that's why. I googled it and I was like, why would somebody steal that? Someone nicked my number.
Do they have any idea who you are, man? I mean, presumably that sent reverberations and shockwaves around the local community that someone would do that to someone of your standard.
Yeah, it can get anyone. Like when Tom Hanks got COVID. It's like that.
Tom Hanks didn't get COVID, did he? Surely. Oh, by the way, did you see Tom Cruise at the game?
He's one of the first ones.
See Tom Cruise at the game last
night? Yes, yes. Friends with D-Bex. Was he enjoying it? If I was like not a fan of soccer and it went to extra time, I would be a bit like, can I go home now, David?
Tom's had an amazing David, day. I think he was spotted on camera at the Wimbledon men's singles final as well that day.
Oh, wow.
So he must have
got the keys to the city.
Do you reckon he just got a helicopter?
Yeah, he must have done. Where is the helipads near Wembley? There must be helipads close to.
No, because the players seem to go in on coaches. I think there's an entrance which takes you underground on a coach.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a helipad there.
No,
there's almost certainly a helipad near Wimbledon.
Oh,
there's
one
at Battersea anyway, isn't there? I think anyway, famously. Yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't really. This is the thing. So Tom Cruise, who famously does all his own stunts, I saw a video. I mean, I presume it's real. Of Tom Cruise doing a stunt because he famously does all his own, him holding on to a plane on the outside while it's taking off,
right.
And you know, it shouldn't be forgotten that Tom Cruise is about to. I think Tom Cruise has just turned 59 years old, right? So, I mean, obviously he isn't anything like. I was about to say, if he's anything like me, he isn't anything like me. But when I hit 40, you feel it. He's 59 and he's doing this stuff. So I wouldn't have thought he's got any problem getting in the helicopter, but I can't really bring myself to get into a helicopter.
No, yeah, exactly, yeah. I think, did you see that clip from the last Mission Impossible where he jumped from building to building and sort of missed his landing a little
bit? Broke his ankle.
Broke his ankle.
Yeah.
And they left that in the film, knowing full well that everyone knows what happened on that stunt. Yeah. Oh, good God.
The man is suffering
horrible
for his art.
He really, really is. He's not full throttle.
No, exactly. Certainly
Tom
is.
Cruise.
But what a day he's had yesterday. Yeah. Wimbledon, I mean, I don't really like tennis, but he's been to the Wimbledon men's singles final. And he's off to the Euros final. I mean, I don't know if he knows that much about football, but I mean, good on him if that's what he wants to do.
Who actually won the Wimbledon's final? I've not watched any
Novak Djokovic, who everyone hates.
Cool. Why'd they hit
I think
him?
He's like a bit of a problematic character. He's got to come. He had a very. I'm going to tread very carefully for legal reasons here, but he had a very what you would call a minority view re-COVID.
Oh yes. He was an anti-vax. He was anti-vax, wasn't he?
I can't remember. For a while. Can you say that? I don't know. He's probably not in the sewer, is he?
Yeah, I'm sure he can. What, saying he's anti? I'm fairly certain he was. He said he would not get his get the vaccine, which isn't, doesn't necessarily mean you're anti-vax.
I'm going to say. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to say something that isn't legally actionable, and I'm going to stand by it. I think he's a selfish young man. That's what I think. Very selfish young man. And,
Naughty little boy. Yeah. He's a naughty little boy.
He's a naughty little boy. Anyway, listen, let's wrap this up, Pete Donaldson. We squeezed one email
in.
It was a bloody good one, though, to be fair. I mean,
it was a banger.
If you are listening to this show and you've done anything like approaching competitive eating, get in touch, because that is a ripe, ripe subject for chat. Pete and I will be back on Thursday. Oh, by the way, you can, of course, email us about anything you want. So don't hesitate to do so. Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address. We are at Luke and Pete Show on social media. And we will be back in your ears on Thursday. And we're bloody looking forward to it, aren't we, Pete?
Yes, like a ripe, ripe nectarine, which is what I ate for breakfast. Delicious.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.